wonderful little device. This is what we use to get the messages on the internet. So it's nice having these things. But thank you again, Rabbi, for sharing that word of encouragement from Exodus 33 and Baruch Hashem. And so now we're going to continue going through Romans, and we're here on probably a really, I'm going to say for lack of a better term, a nice big juicy piece of spiritual steak. It's big and thick. Pastor, what's the thickest steak that comes off a cow? A big, thick New Yorker T-bone. He's holding his hand up several inches. We're having some good steak right now. And it's nice and thick and it's juicy. And it's from the Word of God. So we're going to, you know, instead of blasting through, you know, hey, yeah, the rabbi talked about 5 million verses today. We're going to concentrate just on five. So that way we can digest it properly and look into it properly. But I want to start with verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And it's interesting, in Judaism, we have to remember that the purpose many of the sacrifices was to make atonement. And that word atonement is lahashlim, which literally means to make peace. So, the point is, it's only through the atonement of Yeshua that we can have peace with the Messiah. That's the only way that we can have peace with God. And God's Word, once we see over and over and over again, God's Word's like, hey, it's not by what you do, it's by what I've done. And our response to doing things for God is because, hey, we love you, God wants us to do these things, we have a relationship, yeah, sure. But it has nothing with earning or working our way to heaven. And of course, this theme is reoccurring in Romans over and over and over again. And so, it's interesting is that sacrifices serve as a tool of renewal in regards to the covenant that God has made with us. Now, you know, as we always joke around because, you know, people sometimes ask, hey, at Passover, do you guys really go out and sacrifice a lamb and put the blood over your doorpost? No. Somebody might bring some lamb and it tastes good. Amen. But really, we have today, what does the scripture talk about? It talks about our sacrifice being the bulls of our lips, the praises that come forth from our mouth to God. And so with that, this serves as a sacrificial reminder of the sacrifice that Yeshua made for us. So when we give praise to God for our salvation, we give praise to God because He has delivered us. We give praise to God because He fought the battle for us. We give praise to God because God is who He is, holy and perfect, right? When we give Him praise, that's offering the sacrifice, which acts as saying, hey, I'm acknowledging the covenant that You made with mankind, God. I'm acknowledging that covenant. And I'm responding by giving You the bull of my lips, the sacrifice from my lips. And this passage continues through Yeshua. It's only through Yeshua that we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing God's glory. Isn't it interesting? The Torah portion talks about, you know, the glory of God, and that we stand there and we've got a hope of seeing God's glory, but it's only by the grace of God that this happens. God is the only source of grace, and that word is chesed. The chet, the samach, and the dalet. You know, some of your translations might have mercy, or compassion, or loving kindness. I hate when people put their own interpretation into the Word of God. Or I hate when people add things to Scripture to make it say what they want to say. Or they take away Scripture because they don't like a certain part of Scripture, right? Drives me nuts. I hope it drives you nuts too, that when people just like, oh, get this stuff away from me. No. Because we want to have God's grace. Because that is the only thing that helps us to stand. And it's interesting, into His grace in which we stand, that was a common phrase used by Jewish sages when they taught, and rabbis. So the rabbis have taught about the grace of God. I wish I'd keep on teaching about the grace of God, but they kind of forgot about that one, right? And so, you know, I think of Psalm 119:24. The prayer here says, deal with your servant according to your grace and teach me your statutes. That's the prayer of the psalmist there. And note that God's grace and the human response towards His grace is the desire to be obedient to the things of God. And of course, that's how we have a close relationship with Him, right? God says what? Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. How do we draw near to God? By doing what the Holy Spirit says to do through the Scripture, right? You know, hey God, I want to be close to you, but you know, I'm sorry, I got to go out and murder some people this week. Is God going to draw close to us if we're a murderer? No. But we like sin. Well, you know what? God can't hang out with sin. Praise God, we have God's grace, right? But if we pursue a lifestyle of sin, God can't hear our prayers even. And so we need to remember that. That our response is to be obedient to His Word. And do what His Word says. And of course, then next we see that phrase, you know, quote, hope and glory. And Paul returns to the point that both of these things play an important role in the book of Romans. The hope is for access to God so that the glory of God might be seen, which comes through the Messiah. We have that hope, right? You know? And hope, when we have hope, doesn't hope many times help us to carry on? We have hope, yeah. And so with that, it's not, oh, I hope God's going to do something. No, we've got hope because we know that God's going to do something. We're going to press on. We're going to press forward in God's grace. And with that, we get to see the glory of God by God's grace through what Yeshua did for us on the cross. Amen? Yeah. Now it continues here. It says, not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Probably get at least one phone call a week. Rabbi, pray for me. I'm really suffering. We suffer, right? We go through tough times, right? But what does it say? But we boast in our suffering, knowing this. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. You know, it's interesting. The rabbis write that suffering is a result of sin. And I'm going to agree with that statement. I'm like, oh, what? We suffer because of sin? Isn't that like a wrath thing? No. That's what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying here is, I'm not saying that God only blesses those who are perfect. Okay? Know that. God blesses His children, right? Amen? And even when we make mistakes, aren't we blessed with the forgiveness that He has for us? Yeah. But think about it. Don't we all suffer because of sin? How many of you are getting older each and every day? Some of us feel the effects more than others, right, David? Right? Yeah, you know, Grandpa used to joke around and says, it's not the age, it's the mileage. But yeah, isn't that not an effect of sin? The second law of thermodynamics, that is in place because sin is in this world. We're tending towards decay and disorder. Some people say, no, we're getting better and stronger and faster and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, really? You're getting better? Comb your hair perfectly before you go to bed and wake up the next morning and see how perfect it still is, right? Yeah. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Even though you wear the hairnet and all the other stuff, and Barb's like, I've worked in cosmetology. It doesn't work. Yeah. Is the world going towards decay and disorder? Isn't that a result of sin? And it's a sin that's not even our own. Somebody else did that sin, right? Adam and Eve did that sin. But that put into motion this second law of thermodynamics. So really, our position should be that when we're going through a tough time, we need to be encouraged because this is part of God's process of building endurance in our lives. It is. And what it does is it leads to character. And I know you guys are thinking, Rabbi, you're a character. You must have suffered a lot. But with that, that's not the type of character that I'm talking about. What it does is it instills in us the right type of behavior. Hey, you know what? I'm going through all the stuff, but you know what? I got hope. God's going to get me through this in His time. I don't know when it's going to be. But going through that suffering, really, does it not build our faith? Does it not make it easier for us? Hey, you know what? Yeah, I've seen tough times before and God got me through those. The times aren't easier to go through, but we know that because God loves us and that we are under His grace. Grace is defined as getting what we don't deserve, right? Through that, we have hope that God is going to see us through. And so as we go through struggles, we need to remember that this is God's character building process. Because what this is going to allow us to do, it's not only going to draw us closer to Him, but it's also going to, we're going to then be used as a source of encouragement for others. You know, it's just so interesting. Somebody goes through, you know, they're going through some sort of trial or tribulation or a rough time. And sometimes they approach me and say, you know, Rabbi, hey, I wanted to talk to you about this. I'm going through this right now. And I start to giggle, sometimes out loud. Why are you laughing? Because I've been through it too. I know what the end result is. Really? What's the end result? Well, if you make these choices, the good choices that God wants you to make, you have hope in Him, then I know that He's going to see you through it. Because guess what? If He can do it for a guy like me, He can do it for you. But on the other side, we see that we've got choices that His Word said don't do. You know what? Don't go down that path. Go down this path. I've been down that path. Follow what God says. Have the hope, receive His grace, press forward, and see Him have the victory in your life. And when He does that, guess what? You're going to be able to encourage somebody else. You're going to then have a testimony. You know, I believe a lot of times, in fact, I was kind of typing in some notes about leading up to this revival that we've been talking about, that, a lot of times I've seen people respond to God certain ways in certain behaviors. And one of the things that I was writing specifically in my notes, and I'll kind of, you know, spoiler alert, is that, I think of some people that, were going through a crisis physically in their bodies. And I'd go up to them and say, hey, you know what, going on, we want to pray for you and all of that. And, well, thank you, but, this stuff isn't going away. Well, why is it going away? Is there something in your life that you need to have go away so God can do a miracle? And I remember two people specifically. One of them couldn't walk, and the other one had cancer. And God used me as an instrument. In fact, I got to see one of them's spiritual birth, and I'm like, oh, you have to, you know, have a mikvah now. It's an act of obedience. It's a testimony. Well, I can't walk. Well, I'll get down in that mikvah pool with you. Really? Yeah, I'll bring my bathing suit. I don't care. And so here comes a lady, and she's being wheeled in, and we get over by the mikvah, and I show up in my swimsuit, and she's like, "Oh, I thought you were teasing." No, I'm going to get in there with you. Got in there with her, helped her with her mikvah, and I tell you, because of her obedience to the things of God, the next week. She didn't come in a wheelchair. She came in a walker, with a walker. And the next week, she came and she was using a cane. And the next week, she wasn't using anything at all. And the following week, she says, you know what? I've got a lot of living to do for God. So she tells her daughter, I'm moving out. I don't want you to take care of me anymore. I'm going to go buy my own house now. I got the money. Bye. See you later. And yeah, so here it was kind of neat to see that God extended her years because she was being obedient to God and she had hope in the things of God. You know, another man that he was diagnosed with cancer. In fact, the cancer was all throughout his body and it was so bad that the doctors said at this exam that he'd had, they said, you know what? You have cancer throughout your body. You have less than a 1% chance of surviving the operation that we want to do for you on Monday. Get your affairs in order. You are going to die. And, you know, several weeks before, hey, you know what? You claim to be a believer. Then the first step of obedience is to have a mikvah. All right, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. Yeah, it's a testimony. God says you need to get it done. I've got all this cancer. Oh, I want to do something. I need to do this right for God. And the Spirit was upon him. I need to do this. I need to be obedient to God. He had his mikvah. Monday, he went in for his surgery. And the surgery lasted, I think it was something ridiculous. I might be wrong, but it could be somewhere between 8 and 12 hours. Because the doctors wanted to be sure that there was no cancer in his body, because they couldn't find any cancer. Even though they had pictures and x-rays and all the different scans and the proof and all of that. But because he was obedient to God, God said, hey, you know what? I'm going to bless you and I'm going to heal you. And so we have to remember our response. Sometimes when we go through suffering and stuff, it's not so we can sit there, and I know we're, you know, us Jews, we love to chavetch. Oh, hey, we're going through this again. Oh, hey, you know. I think of Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. I know we're the chosen people, but for once, can you not choose somebody else? You know? But with that, the suffering, it's okay, because it's going to produce endurance. And through the endurance, it's going to, you know, produce hope. And so let's do what God wants us to do, saying, hey, you know what? We're going through a tough time, but this is part of God's process. And I'm not going to complain about the tough time. I'm going to continue to be obedient to God, because I know that because I gave my life, I surrendered my life to Messiah. It's his body. It's his life. This is his stuff. It's his anyhow. I'm just going to show up and be obedient to him. And you know what? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, right? That's what we sang this morning. That's what Job said. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He blessed the name of the Lord after his children were killed, after he lost all of his wealth and lost his home. He says, hey, God gives, God takes away. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. My bad. But he said, Baruch Atah Hashem. Bless the name of the Lord. Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai. Yeah. And so with that, I mean, how many of you guys have fallen in the trap? Oh, all this junk's going on. I might as well try to get in there and control it and go haywire, right? And what happens when we get involved? Really, what we need to do is get involved. And the only way that we should get involved is in our prayers. Lord, hey, this is a tough time. I'm really struggling. I can't make it. But you give me hope. Take that mindset of I can't make it out of my mind. We're going through this for a reason. And you know what? And I find that when you surrender this stuff to God, you don't have to worry about it. You're not anxious about it. You know, and somebody says, you know, this week, oh, hey, it's so nice that you got a new-to-you car. It's not my car. This is God's car. Which means that God is going to take me where God wants me to go in this car. Well, God has blessed you with a really nice house. It's, you know, or you're lucky. I hate when people say, well, you're lucky. No, I'm not. I'm just receiving the favor. You know, God is saying, hey, I want you to be a steward of this, and I want you to use these things, because whose things are they really? Are they ours? No, they're His. And when we surrender that control back to Him, when we give that back to Him, we don't have to worry about the stuff. We don't. And doesn't God take care of His own stuff? Yeah, He does a good job of it. And so with that, in any situation we're going through, let's not look at it as losing things or gaining things or any of that. Let's just say the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Bless the name of the Lord. And remember, doesn't Yeshua save, right? But isn't His salvation more than just our eternal life? I mean, I can look in my life and say, hey, there's some times when I should have been dead physically, but God saved me. God preserved my life. There's some times when things don't make sense. Because I was going through a rough time, but you know what? I called upon the name of the Lord, and guess what? He delivered me from my enemies. He will do the same for you. He will do the same for each and every one of you. We just have to let Him. Amen? And it says now that this hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope in God is not going to leave you high and dry. It's not. In fact, God pours out His love through the Holy Spirit when we are in God's presence. And you know, what a great tie-in to what you said today, Rabbi. We couldn't plan these messages, you know, out any better for the two things. Yeah, because, you know, God pours out our love upon us. That's why He wants us to have His, you know, He wants to give us His grace so that we can be in His presence. Because guess what? It's not what we can do that can get away from the junk and the sin. It's what He has done. And we just need to do what? Be the right thing. We need to confess that sin. Hey, God, I'm a sinner. If we confess our sin, what is He? He is faithful. He is just to forgive us, you know, far as the east is from the west of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get that spiritual mikvah so that junk just washes off. And whom the Son has set free, I know we keep saying this, is free indeed. So we're free of these things. You know, and it's interesting though, is that, I mean, in the community, and when I say community, I mean the body of the Messiah. Those who are believers, whether they're messianic or not, makes no difference. But those who believe that Yeshua Jesus is the Messiah, we find that, you know, that some people aren't encouraged by the Word of God. And, oh, I hate going through tough times, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they want to be on the other side of this. In fact, Psalm 119 says, starting with verse 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your Torah. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. If you have hope that God is going to get you through it, you will not be ashamed. But you have to have complete trust in Him and not try to take the control back. Well, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. Well, guess what? Whose bills are they? Did God tell you to do that? Yeah, He did. You know, one of the things the adversary's been trying to hit us at our house, well, hey, look, you know, you've got this beautiful home. I'm going to make you lose your house so you lose your inheritance. That's what he's been whispering to Crystal. No, I don't receive that because we have hope in God and He's not going to let us be ashamed because we have publicly declared that the only reason why we're in the home that we are in because of the providence of God and His hand moving. In fact, she even told the real estate agent, you know what? God's going to get us a great house. Not because we deserve it, not because of any of that, but to prove to you that He is real. Because our real estate agent, he's a self-proclaimed agnostic who believes it's all about business and making the deal. But when everything was said and done, in fact, the only time that he saw the house was the day before we closed escrow. And he's like, oh, this is a great house. We've got a great house, you know. And he was kind of mumbling and keeping it down because they don't talk things up in front of the other people that were there. And he gets on the phone. I'm like, oh, great house. And he goes, I'm going to have to give it to God this time because God helped you. And so guess what? The adversary, he wants to steal that away from us, right? But nope. I've got hope and I'm not going to be ashamed because God provided for that house. So I'm not going to worry about it. Now, I was praying this morning, and I did the hour, this thing called the hour of prayer. And one of the things is you sit there and you ask, you petition for your needs. It's part of this process for about 5 minutes. And so I get there and I'm like, oh, I don't know, Lord. I mean, house, car. Thanks for continuing to providing food. You know, how about, I need my kids to love you. Yeah, that's what I need. I need my wife to continue to love you. I thank you in advance for continuing for those, you know, you're going to supply my needs according to your riches and glory. Yeah, God's going to take care of it and I am not going to be ashamed. But you know what? The adversary, he doesn't like when we say that. He wants us to be double-minded. Double-minded means, you know, and I think about it. Those who show up on Sabbath, and they might say the Baruch Hashem and God is so good, but you see him on Tuesday. You know, what do they say? They live like heaven on Sabbath, but they live like hell the rest of the week. Yeah, that's a double-minded person. But no, we are not to be double-minded. Torah haters, impatient, don't get ahead of God, right? If we're seeking the face of God, hey God, I want to see your face because you're following me. Let's not get in front of God. Let's be patient. Yeah. Disobedient. You know, it's interesting. If we're not those things, then God promises sustainment, abundant life, and guilt-free living. And you know, it's interesting. James 1 says, starting verse 6, a person must ask in faith without any doubts. For the one who has doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Such a person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in everything that he does. So if you're sitting there going, yeah, God's going to provide for me, but yet on Monday, oh no, the bills are due. You start freaking out and getting ahead of God. No. Got to be on one side of the fence or the other, right? We can't be double-minded and think that God's going to be both ways. And it's interesting, this prophecy here, and remember last week we talked about when we read something in God's Word that God promises He's going to do something, He's going to do it. If God says, hey, if your behavior is A, B, C, then X, Y, Z will be the result. That's prophecy, right? What's the prophecy here? Double-minded people are unstable. And God says, hey, you know what? You're not going to get any help from me. So many times if we see people who are believers who are saying, hey, you know what? I got all these requests. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, you know, maybe God wants us to say, hey, are you being double-minded? Well, what does that mean? How are you living on Tuesday? You go to work on Tuesday and people say, hey, that's a believer in Yeshua Jesus. I can tell because they have hope, they have faith. They just, you know, there's just this thing about them. Or is it, oh, well, you know, I didn't know those people were believers. You know, I've had that happen several times where I run into somebody, I'll start talking to them, trying to share with them, and, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm this. Where do you work? I work for this company. Oh, I know somebody who works there. Do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know that guy. How do you know him? Oh, well, we worship together. Really? That guy's a Bible thumper? That guy's a believer? You would never know by the way he talks. By the way he acts, how he treats people at his job. Wow, that's being double-minded, right? So let's commit to be stable in what we do. Because when we're stable by following the stability of the Torah, then God is going to meet your needs. Why? Because His Word says He's going to. Amen? Amen. He is. Torah haters. What does God say about Torah haters? Exodus 20, it says, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, Hashem, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers of the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing grace to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So basically what God is saying is that those who serve anything, I got a big blank in my notes, if you serve, fill in the blank, you are a Torah hater. You are a Torah hater. Well, I don't know. I love God, but I need this. Really? I love God, but, you know, and we know people like this, right? Claim to love God, but, you know, hey, why don't you come to serve? Oh, I can't this week, you know. Well, hey, we're going to have a Bible study. Well, you know, I'm busy. Why? Oh, the game's on. Or, you know, my favorite entertainer's in town. All the time. At Pechanga. I've got to go every week to see him. I'm a diehard fan. Why don't you show up and see God every week, right? Hey. I missed it last week because I was here. But Baruch Hashem for the replay after the sun went down and we won. But you know what? That shows that, you know, we got to have things at the right priority. What is our priority? Seek first the kingdom of God and what? And His righteousness. And then all these things are going to be added to you. He takes care of it, right? And so, let's stay away from these things. Let's not be Torah haters. And you know, if there's any sports stars or celebrities or stuff, car, you know, out here it's like all you always see the cars and the trucks with the trailers and the toys, right? Oh, I can't come to service this weekend because Glamis is looking pretty good. Well, what about next weekend? Well, Glamis is looking good then too. Going out to the lake, you see the boats, right? Yeah, all these things. Or, you know, I don't even put in this category, like I know someone who is, you know, oh, I'm a believer, but they're more apt to tell you about living a vegetarian life and they push their propaganda of veganism as opposed to telling somebody about God. Why not? Vegetarianism just became your God. Health became your God. Let's keep things in balance, you know? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with healthy living. Don't get me wrong. But when it becomes our God and becomes more important than God, then that's where we have issues. And we need to get that stuff aside. You know, when I got down here, any spirit that is not of God, money, hate, lust, worry, habits, vices, any of these things that are not of God that we put above God, that is something that we need to surrender. And if we can't, God classifies us as a Torah hater. And He can't help us out here. And one thing we need to remember, Yeshua handled our biggest problem ever. Didn't He? Doesn't our sin separate us from God for all eternity? Because God is so holy, right, and righteous. If we are in His presence, if we show up imperfect in presence of a perfect God, the wizards of smart have figured out that we would just blow up and go into oblivion, into nothing. Because God is so perfect, and imperfect things cannot even be in His presence of the Father. But what, you know, think about it. If Yeshua can take care of that problem, can He not take care of, oh, my car doesn't work very well, I need a new one? I don't know, I don't have any groceries. He can take care of the little stuff too. He take care of the big stuff. He's got the little stuff as well. Why? Because He loves us. And we just need to submit to Him. Amen? And we need to surrender and give these things to God. Because you know what? That passage, and at first they should look like, ah, I don't like that one. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Oh man, I just got whacked to the side of the head. I need 30 stitches. Ooh, joy. Feeling the joy, you know? No. There wasn't joy in that, in the scars. But you know what? Now it's just like, oh, it means that our perspective needs to be different. Hey, look, there's a mountain up ahead. But I've got faith that that mountain's going to move, right? Because God is going to step in and intervene. And He's either going to move the mountain, or He's going to show me the path to go over the mountain, or He has another path to go around the mountain. We need to follow God. Hey, God, if You're not going to be here, show me where You're going because I want to be there. We need to remember that. So here is our challenge or our focus. Our focus should be on the hope that we have in Yeshua by being there, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and participating in the peace offerings that God wants us to be a part of, so that we and others can have fellowship with Him. So the first question I ask is, who? Is anybody getting in the way of our hope and fellowship with God? And the first place we've got to start with is we've got to start with ourselves. Yeah, Barb's sitting there going, yeah, I'll start here. Yeah, exactly. We start with ourselves. Are we getting in the way of God? What's the best way we get away with God? With our mouth, right? We speak words of death. Oh, I got this mountain. Oh, this is a huge mountain and I'm not going to be able to go over it. Nothing's going to work. No. Do not speak those words. Speak words of life. Oh, look, I'm going to consider it joy. There's a mountain ahead. Woohoo! God's going to take care of it. Because my hope in Him is not going to leave me disappointed according to the promise of God's Word. And He is going to move. Yeah. So with that, let's get that stuff out of the way. And if it's us, get yourself out of the way. If it's somebody else, get them out of the way so that we can focus on the way of God by following Him. You know, I think of as a kid, a child in a crowd, and somebody says, follow me, and they might get lost, and we don't see them because there's other people in the way, right? But you know what? How did God lead the children of Israel? Was He just out front? Or did they see the big pillar going up into the sky? Oh, Moses is following the cloud. We want to go. We want to be a part of that. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to rise above where everyone else is and look and see where God is working. And join Him and follow Him. Yeah. And you know what? He doesn't expect you to go through all this stuff on your own. We consider it joy because He, Yeshua means what? Salvation. God will save you. God will deliver you. But you have to ask Him. And beyond asking Him, you have to give Him control and you have to let Him. Here, God, I want you to drive, but I'm not letting go of the steering wheel. Right? We got to let go. We got to let go. So that's the first thing. We got to get the who's out of the way. What? Is there anything getting in the way of your fellowship with God? Get rid of that junk. You know? And ask yourself this. Are there any distractions? What's distracting you from spending time with God every day? And sometimes doesn't the burdens of life sometimes become a distraction? I know with having two little ones at home, and man, you guys see how my daughter runs around here? She is that active from this morning. It was 6:30 in the morning. Good morning, Daddy. It's all over the place. And then she'll just go until, you know, sometimes it's 6 at night, sometimes it's 8 at night, sometimes it's 9 at night. I've got so much to do, and I'm a busy girl, busy, busy, busy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, she didn't stop for 16 hours. And why is it always on the day when Crystal has some sort of appointment in the evening when I'm going to watch her all day, then I'm going to watch her all night, and then try to squeeze in what I have to do as far as response to God. But you know what? I found that if I make time for God and say, hey, you know what? Okay. Kids aren't getting up early. In fact, this morning, I could have just said, oh, this is crazy because I woke up at 2, I woke up at 3, I woke up at 4. And then when I woke up at 4, I couldn't go back to sleep for half an hour. And I had some praise songs going on in my head. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His love. That's what I had going on in my head. He is good, He is good. I'm like, oh, what a great song. Yeah, I know we're singing today, right? But why am I up at 4:30? Oh, yeah, He is good. Wait, everyone else is asleep. I know what I'll do. Make some coffee. And I'll spend some time with the Lord this morning. Not complain, oh crap, I'm not going to get, 27 hours of sleep tonight. You know what, I'll get 5 and Baruch Hashem. When I get home, I'll hand off the kids to Crystal and say, here you go, Tag, you're it. I'm taking a nap. But praise God, because I didn't think about, oh, I got all this, I need to sleep. But it's like, hey, God woke me up. I want to spend some time with Him. Carve out time to spend with God. Don't let the distractions get in the way. If you find that, well, I can't help myself, but when I come home, I gotta watch 20 episodes of television. Well, what's getting in the way of your time with God? The TV. They make them with an off switch, right? And even more importantly, you can unplug them. Yeah. Ask yourself, hey, is TV getting in the way? If so, unplug that thing. Spend some time with God. And I guarantee you this, if you unplug the things that are a distraction and make it a habit to spend time with God, you do it for 40 days straight. On day 41, if you plug it back in and not spend time with God, you'll be like, oh, but you have yourself in check, right? You'll be spending time with God as you need to. So ask, what? Is there anything that's keeping me from God? And remember that scripture, it's better to go through life without an eye than to burn in judgment. What's distracting you from the things of God? Where? And this double-minded stuff. My prayer is that you guys aren't double-minded when you're not here. I don't know. I'm not there. But you know what? God is. God is. He knows what's going on. So my prayer for you is that you're not just here having your Sabbath best on to say, well, I need to do this stuff. Because it's Sabbath, I'm Jewish, I need to be there and, say the Baruch Hashem's at the right time. No. I pray that you're not double-minded. So where is any place we should live a Sabbath lifestyle every single day? Amen? Give praise to God every day. Be distinct from the world. And it's hard sometimes to be distinct from the world, right? Because stuff comes in and it creeps in and it tries to distract you. It tries to throw you off. Sometimes it's very obvious. I mean, yesterday, Crystal got home from work. I go, you know what? We need to have a little family time. Let's leave the cell phones. Let's turn off the phones. Let's do all that stuff. Let's throw Matana in the stroller. Let's walk down to the kiddie park and have the kids go down the slide. And just, just sit on the park bench and spend a half an hour, 45 minutes down there at the park. And it was great. And then this obvious spirit came up because this drunk lady came up and all tipsy with her kids, and she's got this huge pentagram around her neck. And I'm like, okay, that's obvious. It's time to go. But sometimes the adversary isn't that noticeable. Because doesn't he try to sneak in? Ah, well, okay, you're here at the water cooler. And yeah, that joke was a little off color, but it is kind of funny, you know? Giggle, giggle. Then the next thing you know, you're wait for the next joke, and then you're looking for the next joke, and then the next thing you know, you're telling the next joke. It's like, oh no, God wants us to get that double-minded stuff out of our mind. Havdalah means distinction. Let's live a distinct lifestyle. Amen? Let's live a distinct lifestyle. When do you make time to fellowship with God? Is it 4:30 in the morning because it's quiet in the house? Or, you know, some of you might be night owls, or, you know, everybody goes to bed and, you know, I've got the cup of decaf going on, and between 11 and 12 is my time. Whenever it is, what does God's Word say? Anytime's good to praise the Lord, right? But God wants to spend time with us daily. And even God's Word goes beyond that and says if we meditate upon His Word day and night, He promises a blessing for us. You'll have success in everything that you do. Really? Does it say that? Yeah, Joshua. Chapter 1, I think it's verse 8 or 10 or somewhere in that department. Yeah. And it's not the only place it's mentioned. I think it's also mentioned, Psalm chapter 1. That His delight is in the Torah. And in His Torah does He meditate day and night. His leaf will not wither, and whatever His hand does, He prospers, right? You're in God's Word day and night. You will have prosperity in your life. Now, does this mean riches? Does this mean you're going to be the next Donald Trump? No. That's not God's promise. But God promises spiritual success and treasures in heaven, which the moth, the rust, the mice, whatever, can't destroy that stuff. So the final question I have down here is why? If you're not focusing on hope and fellowship with God, why? Is there something that is more important than God? Do you have any idols that need to be dealt with? What is it? Why? Why? And so my prayer is that if there's something there, and like I say, I don't know. You know, it's not like we get this visualization where, like, I'm the rabbi and God's given me special vision where I can see the different idols following each and every one of you around. It doesn't work that way. But if there's something there that needs to be let go, why are you still holding on to it? You might be listening on the internet. Why are you still holding on to it? Let it go. Let it go. And hope in Yeshua. He is our salvation, right? So finally, it might be a heart issue. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart... Let me misquote scripture. The heart is amazing. We should follow our heart because it's going to lead us down to the best places that we could ever go. It always works in the movies, right? Follow your heart! You know, it's sappy. No, it says the heart is what? It is more deceitful than all else. And it tells about our heart problem. And it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? But I, Hashem, search the heart. I test the mind. Each to give... or even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So, do your deeds and your ways show that your heart is fully devoted to God? Or are there things that God gives you that prove that when your mind is tested, that your main focus is upon Him? You know, when you come to that trial and tribulation, you're like, oh, does your mind immediately, boom, train? I'm going right to God. Because God's going to take care of this. All right. Oh, I start to worry. Oh, no, that's wrong. That's right. Heart deceitful. Boom. You catch yourself, right? Do these things show that your mind, your heart are focused on the things of Him? And guess what? The trials and the tests and the tribulations will give you a definitive answer. And my prayer is that everyone in this room can say, yeah, they are. They are. And so, here's what I wish for us to focus on today. My desire is I would like to see each and every one of you maintain a healthy focus in your faith. That you enjoy your time of peace when you're offering up your peace offerings to God. And that you encourage others to do the same. You know? And that is my hope and prayer. So with that, let's just everybody just bow their heads and close their eyes for a moment.